Amen. You know, I was driving down Westwood tonight and saw all those homes they're building out there around Lombardi School and on up the road a little bit, all these apartments, and it's amazing. I mean, this is a huge community going on, coming in. And so it was pretty exciting. And so the other day, I was coming to the office, and I got behind this truck, and it had all these, it was full of lumber. You know, it looked like 2x4s or something, but what do I know? You know, or trusses maybe, I don't know. But it was full of lumber, and I'm looking at this truck, and it's going in, and there's trucks just coming in there from all over, and it was just so exciting to see. And I thought, look at that truck. That's not just carrying boards and lumber. It's carrying a house on it. It's carrying a house. So you've got to remember, when you're praying for something, you're not just praying. You know, you may see just something. You just may see an acorn. But if you look in that acorn, there's a tree. There's a lot of trees in the acorn. So anyway, whatever you're praying for tonight, be encouraged that our Lord will lead you and guide you. And there's more to it than what you see. Amen? Well, you know, last week we were talking about, we didn't even get started to touch the, you know, a little thumbnail sketch of the fruits of the Spirit. But I'm going to go a little bit farther tonight. And I'm going to ask you if you are living, for the most part, for yourself or for the Spirit of God. So we'll check this out and see how it turns out. But are you living for yourself or for the Spirit? And I'll say this, unfortunately, sometimes we know that we choose to please ourselves instead of pleasing the Spirit. And that doesn't always work out good. But if it's a, you know, 80%, 90%, 100% that way, that you're always pleasing and gratifying your flesh and satisfying yourself, that's just not going to work out good. You've heard the old phrase, how's that working for you? Well, it doesn't. And you'll see, it just doesn't work out. But we have to choose. It's every single day. It is a choice to follow after the Holy Spirit or follow after your own nature, your own flesh. And yet, in First Peter, we won't go over there, but Peter said, God has given us his divine nature. Isn't that amazing? So wonderful to think that we could have his divine nature in a person like me, in a person like you, that he would choose to come here and live with us. So I want us to turn over to the book of Galatians. You know, we're going to Galatians. And when we begin to satisfy the Spirit and not every whim of the flesh, everything in our life changes. And that's what happened when you accepted Jesus as Lord of your life. Things in you begin to change. I was watching, I believe it was TBN the other night, and they had a little video clip of Justin Bieber. And there had been a prophet two or three years ago, and he said Justin Bieber one day will turn his heart to God, and he will be one of the greatest worship leaders in America that the world has ever seen. Now, well, we'll wait and see, Paul, if that's true, because this is the world that he's in, is in worship, praise God. And so he said Bieber will be one of the greatest worshipers. And here was that sweet young man, had been so far out in the world. And TBN says, we've just got to show you this clip. And here's that cute little Justin Bieber standing there, who's probably a man of great, great wealth. And he said, he was so humbled. And he said, you know, he said, I was in darkness so deep. And he said, not even knowing how much darkness and deep darkness that I was in. And he said, my mother had loved the Lord and served the Lord her entire life. She raised me in church. And then I started getting these other friends, and I started moving this way in places I shouldn't have gone, and doing things I shouldn't have done, and because I was talented and I could sing, then, you know, pretty soon I'm in a band, and then the rest is history. He said, but I'm telling you right now, I want everyone in the world to know I have met Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And he said, he is not finished with me, but he is just getting started in me, and I am excited about what I feel in my spirit. So would you join me in praying for Justin Bieber? Let's pray for him and some of the people in Hollywood that are finding Jesus, and it's more and more and more. Is it Brian Cade? What's that movie star's name? I thought he just lived up at Count Nelson or something off and on. Dennis Quaid. Well, I was halfway, not even halfway there, but Dennis Quaid. My goodness, that guy's just wide open with this testimony. And he sat out the other day, and he's got his guitar, and I want to play this song that I wrote, and I want you all to hear it. He's in front of one of these big crowds, you know, of people probably not Christians, I don't know. And he started, and listen, the guy cannot sing a lick, not a lick. But just seeing him sing that and cry, and you could tell, no, he can't sing, and he really can't play at all. But the anointing that came off of him, I guess it's just knowing that he was in the world and he's out, but they're so unashamed. And I'm like, my goodness, look at that. They will be led by the Spirit if they stay on that path. All right, so it is obvious, remember this now, it's obvious to the people around us. When you meet with them, you don't have to talk with them very long before you recognize whether they're following after the Holy Spirit or they're pleasing themselves. It doesn't take long, but it'll send off a fragrance of who we're serving. Amen? So let's look at Galatians and Paul speaking here, and we'll start at chapter 5, verse 16. This I read to you last week, and we started here, but we'll go farther now. I say to you, then, or I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, the lust of the flesh are still going to be there to aggravate you. But, he says, if you learn to walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill those lusts. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit, your Spirit, not the Holy Spirit, your Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you were led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I'm sorry, I better go back and correct myself there, because that's a capital S on Spirit. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, capital S, so that's divine, that's the Godhead. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary one to the other. Then it gives us a but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. All right, so we are free from the works of the law. Now, verse 19, and this is funny. I thought, Paul, why didn't you start with the fruit of the Spirit? But here he starts with something else. Verse 19, look. Now the works, look at that, it's got an S on it. Multiple, plural. Now the works of the flesh are evident. In other words, everybody sees it, you feel it, and you know it whenever the flesh is acting up. Don't we know it? Okay, can I interrupt myself right here before I go on? Say this. Go ahead. You always do. So we were up living at the ranch, and our washer and dryer was in the garage. And so, you know, I was always teaching at Sunday school and teaching here and there. And so I always had teaching material all over the place. It was like, you know, flyers or notes or something. They're all over. So I'm out there, and I'm upset about something. I don't even know what I was upset about, but I was pretty upset. And so I guess I wanted myself to know it, maybe my husband to know it, I don't know. But I wanted somebody to know. But, you know, it just seemed like it would feel better if when I walked out to that dryer or that washer, and I was putting those clothes out of that washer into that dryer, I was pulling them out and throwing them in, and it just seemed to me, to my flesh, I guess, that it would feel better if I just slammed that dryer door. And so that's exactly what I did, Dina. I got all those clothes in there, and for whatever, whoever I was trying to impress, I slammed that dryer door, and this little note fell out, a little Sunday school leaflet. We used to call them leaflets that we would teach from. And it fell off onto the floor. And I wish I'd never picked it up. And I picked it up, and at the top it said, "Do you know what spirit you are of?" And I'm like, "Lord, can't you ever just let me by with something?" Nope. So it says, let's read that again. "Now the works," remember it's got an S on it because there's a lot of them, "the works of the flesh are evident." So it was pretty evident that I was in the flesh, and it was evident to me. "The works of the flesh are evident, which are," Paul says, let me just name a few of those, "adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies." Well, I think, my Lord, Paul, that's enough. Just stop. But no, he goes on. Verse 21. "Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like." Now, the old King James says, "and such like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." He did not even say, now if you're under grace, it's all right, though we are in the hour of grace and we get forgiveness. But Paul says it's going to be a lot better if you are led by the Spirit and you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh and make it evident to everybody who you're satisfying at the moment. At the moment I slammed that dryer door, what was I doing? I was gratifying my flesh. You know, it just felt good to be hateful, I guess, or mean, or whatever I was. And so when we mention these things, look at them. Most of these are self-explanatory. All these things are of the flesh. Adultery, of course, you're in the flesh there. Fornication, of course. You know, the Bible says you're supposed to be married before you have a relationship with another person. Fornication, uncleanness, from homosexuality to many other things fall under that uncleanness. And then lewdness. You know what lewdness means? I wrote some of these down because some of these less familiar words you may not know. Lewdness means to be indecent, obscene, vulgar, excessive behavior, and extreme indulgence. Now, we're living in the last hours, and according to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, it says in the last days, men would be incontinent, going after other things. They would be seekers of pleasures and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. So I think here all of that would fall under lewdness, because today you just see people just getting so caught up in excessive behavior. Whether it's, you'll hear about it, whether it's pornography or drugs, or we mentioned vaping the other day, a lot of these things, it's just excessive behavior. Somebody told me the other day, well, I already know this, that there are pastors that will use swear words and cuss words in their pulpit. Just very unlikely words that should be used in the name of Jesus and at this sacred desk. And then it goes on to say, I'm sorry, 19, again, let me repeat it. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, seeking any other god. I mean, you can make a god out of anything. You can make a god out of your hobbies. You can make a god out of your job. We can make a god out of our church. You say, are you serious? Yeah, I see a lot of pastors that do that. They make a god out of their church. They just about live at the church. They ignore their families. I don't mean to say ignore them, but it's like the wife comes second, or if it's a woman pastor, sometimes the husband would come second. The children, you know, they're just kind of pushed aside. Well, what happened? He made the church, he made the ministry his god. So it can happen with money. We know that money becomes a big god. So he says that's all a work of the flesh. And then it talks about uncleanness. That could include much of anything that we want to put it on. As I said before, in Romans chapter 1, talks a lot about homosexuality there and immoral sins of the flesh and sexuality. Sorcery, the use of magic or black magic, using the control of evil spirits, witchcraft, palm readers, etc. All of these things fall under sorcery. I don't know if you remember or not, but a few years ago, short few years ago, we had a couple coming here and they were palm readers. She was, and her husband would say she is a gypsy and she reads palms and she reads tarot cards. So I welcomed them into the church. Just come on in. Now, they weren't going to be in leadership or anything, but we welcomed them. Because our church is a whosoever will church. So anyone can come in, but they're just not going to perform those duties in here, and they won't be in leadership, of course. And so one day they came up to the altar, and I prayed with them and talked with them. And so later on, I talked to them after service, and I said, "Did you gave your hearts to Jesus today?" And he says, oh, no. He says, we are already saved. We're already saved. And then I started talking to them about the power they were using. And he said, well, my wife, she is, what did I say? Gypsy. She's a gypsy. And that's just what they do. And so I spent a lot of time with them. And they were just going to continue to walk in that way. They didn't realize that they had taken on another god, and all they did was add Jesus to the works of the flesh. But it does call sorcery a work of the flesh. So if you have been seeing palm readers, there's one right out there on Plano, please don't do that. Don't do that. That's very, very dangerous, because they are using the power of the devil. Huh? I'm sorry? Oh, she is close. Well, okay, good, good. All right. Well, one time, I don't know. Well, I'll get off of that. I'll just leave that. Because we could just go on every one of these tonight, but that's a good thing. So sorcery. Oh, this is what I was going to say, because there's a word in the Bible. I don't know how many of you are familiar with it. You probably are if you've been at Landmark for very long, called necromancing, N-E-C-K-R-O-M-A-N-C-I-N-G. Necromancing is a word out of the Old Testament, and it means one who likes to hang out with the dead. And so there are people that like to do seance, where they'll call up the dead, and they've told me, but it looked just like my grandpa. It looked just like my mother. I said, that's called a familiar spirit. Don't be fooled. It is a familiar spirit. Do not play with the devil. All right? So, again, it's mentioned right here. Paul knew what he was talking about, because they dealt with witchcraft every single day when the church was being birthed. All right? So let's go on. Verse 20 again. He's talking here about the works of the flesh. Verse 20, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, Is there any hidden hatred in your heart for anyone? You can't leave it there. You can't, because it'll turn to bitterness. And it will be so evident in your life if you have hatred. And then contentions. Let me tell you what contentions means. Contentions means arguments, disagreements that lead to discord. It'll just bring discord among you and make you feel so bad and make the ones around you feel bad. And we've all been a part of that, I'm sure. But Paul says this is not good. It doesn't help you to grow, and it just hurts you, and it buries you in bitterness. So let's go on and say verse 20. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies. Jealousy is a very dangerous thing. It's bad for you, and it's bad for the one that you're jealous of. Bad for both of you. Outburst of wrath, just having a big old temper fit. Paul said that's when your flesh is acting up. Selfish ambitions, it's all about me. What makes me happy? What makes me feel good? What makes me comfortable? Let me tell you something. There's so many times, and you know this is true, that God will, like a little bird in a nest, he'll start pulling out all your little comfort things that make you comfortable. And with that, when he pulls it out, you feel like you're in a sticky place and you don't like what you're feeling. But it always causes growth. Always, doesn't it? Always causes growth to come to you. So he says dissensions, heresies. Dissensions. Let me read dissensions. Yeah, that's the disagreements. And heresies is this. Heresies, a belief or theory that is strongly at variance with established beliefs or theories. And there are heresies, and there's theological people out there that the world classifies as giants who are total heretics. Now, the Bible tells us in Titus to avoid all foolish questions and genealogies. And it says you can answer them once, you can answer twice. But after that, don't argue with them anymore, because after that, if they keep on, they are a heretic. I didn't say that. The old King James said it. But here it calls them heresies. Now, just recently, I was dealing with a man and woman who I felt like this brother had hidden. He was a hidden heretic. He hid under his knowledge. He hid under theories because he was forever following scientists and theologians, and very seldom did he follow pastors or evangelists. You know, you'd never hear that he ever watched Christian TV ever. And so it was a big problem to him, but he had no idea. And he would come against the organized belief system of anyone and everything. And so it was really sad, but it's very hurtful. And now he's bitter, 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 trying to do well. But if they don't follow after the Spirit, let me tell you what Jesus said. Jesus says, you cannot create fruits of the Spirit. I don't care. Now, these are works of the flesh. And we don't have to worry about creating those. Man, those just pop up in the old nature. They're always trying to take over. And then it says, such like. You say, well, what in the world does such like mean? Well, listen, my pastors growing up, they always preach about and the such like. Remember those messages? I preach a couple of them around here, I'm sure, over the years. But such like covers those things that your kids say, it's not in the Bible. Or a person of heresy that wants to pick a fight and argue with you whether this is wrong or that's wrong. Well, you just take them, okay. These things are fruits of the spirit, works of the flesh. But how about the such like? No, it didn't tell you you couldn't smoke a cigarette. Will that send you to hell? No. But it'll ruin your testimony. They see you smoking in public. Well, they're never going to classify you as a Christian. You say, well, that's kind of legalistic or old-fashioned. Well, it's okay what you think. But I'm just saying, it could be one of those such likes. You don't want your children to go to an R-rated movie? Well, it didn't say they couldn't go to, or you shouldn't go to R-rated movie either. But it didn't mention that, but could that be in the such like? What do you think? Yeah, I think so. So, anyway, praise God. We get to move on from that because he said we have the nature of God in us. All right, so look at this. We're saved by the bell right here. Number 22. Verse 22. But the fruit, look at that. There's not an S on fruit. Remember, there was an S on the works. There was an S. Here it's not. It's just fruit, period. But the fruit, I hear many people say the fruits of the Spirit. No, it's not the fruits. It's a fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, look at that. I didn't have to describe any of those. They're just wide out in the open. Everybody knows what love is, gentleness, kindness, joy, peace, long-suffering. We don't like that one anyway. But we're all pretty good at it. I've watched you guys go through, and, man, you've suffered long and hard, but you pulled right on through it because you had the fruit of the Spirit working in you. Now, if there's one of those words, I know you know the answer to this. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if we have all those, he says, you don't have any need for the law because you're going to follow the Spirit. You're going to be all right. So if there is one word there that all of this fruit would come out of or be attached to, what do you think that one fruit would be? Any idea that they would all be connected? Huh? Exactly. So love has it all wrapped up. Why? Because God is love. He is not a picture of love. He is love. And so it's all wrapped up in love. So it is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit is love. And all these other things, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering. But we have to remind ourselves of who we are. We have to remind ourselves that we have the nature of God, we have the mind of Christ, and we have the fruit of the Spirit. He helps us. All right, and look at verse 24. And those, that's us, somebody say, that's me. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And we live, he didn't say, and we might live or shall live. He said, Paul said, no, we do. We live in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. You go to work, walk in the Spirit. You go out to put your clothes in the dryer, walk in the Spirit. You know, do everything we do. But there's a constant reminding ourselves of these things. He said, it's those who are Christ. Well, that's us. We're one of those. Verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. All right, I'm going to quit right here because I want us to pray. But let's go over to John 15. I'm going to show you what Jesus said. I'm sure glad he said this because I know I hear some of you already saying, well, Pastor, that's all good and well, but I just can't do it. I've tried, but it's not working for me. Well, let's see if we can help you here. Well, I can't help you, but Jesus and his word can help you. John, I'm sorry, 15. Did I say 5? Okay, John 15. Okay, I'm not going to read all this. Look at let's do 4 and 5, Gabby. Verse 4, Jesus speaking, red letter edition right here. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I am him bears much fruit. Fruit, singular. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, if he says, without me, you can do nothing, he's still talking about fruit bearers right here. So he said, it's possible to do, but you have to stay connected to me. And this is why you see people playing around in the world and putting their toe out in the water and playing around with people they shouldn't be running with and doing things they shouldn't be doing and, you know, testing. And they would have no longer run with that person a few years ago. They wouldn't have listened to that kind of music. They wouldn't have done that. But now they do. Why? Because they got a little bit disconnected. And when you do, Jesus said, when you're disconnected from the vine, you can no longer do it by yourself. You just can't bear fruit unless you stay connected to me. I'm closing here. But when we stay in step with the Spirit, led by him, again, he never pushes us. Now, if you feel that God wants you to do something and it's driving you crazy because you're just being pushed, press, hurry, 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 you got to do it now, and he's pressing you, you got a good mind to know that Satan behind you pushing you. Because God does not push. He leads us. He leads us. Now, when God is speaking to you, let me remind you again, when your vision or your dream is from God, here's how I learned it, and I think it was Tommy Barnett that taught me this years ago, even before I married. He says, whenever you have a vision, whenever you have a dream, he said, there will be times where, he said, if it's from God, it will never let you go, ever. It never lets you go. But there will be months, there will be a time where maybe you'll forget about that dream or you'll forget about the vision. You're going on with your life, you're doing other things, you're working in the church, but you're not thinking about that. But he said, the first thing you know, suddenly here it comes back, it's on you again. You can't get away from it when it's God. It'll just keep on eating at you. It comes back to you. And another thing, how do you know it's God's vision and not yours? It's always bigger than anything you can accomplish. Always bigger. And Jesus said, stay connected to me because I've got some things for you to do. And let me tell you, this fruit of the Spirit, it brings you life. The works of the flesh will aggravate you. It will tear you up. And it will bring death. It will torment you until sometimes you can just run away. But the life is in the Spirit. And it'll produce life not only in you, but those that you're around. And you know what happens? This fruit of the Spirit, Ricky learned this right here in your first few days of spiritual life. When you are led by the Spirit and you talk to God, let me tell you, it affects every area of your life, with your children, with your wife, or whoever you're with. It just affects every, if it affects your finances, everything you do, your worship, it affects everything in us. And you'll grow in knowledge. But I just say to you today, not only do we grow in knowledge, but we grow in our love for him. And we will accomplish everything that he's called us to do. Okay, one last thing to explain to you the best that I can. Whenever I said to you that sometimes that vision will leave you and you forget about it because now you're getting older, you don't have the money for it or whatever, you haven't thought about it in a long time. Okay, if you're driving, I used to drive it all the time from the ranch up there on the Indian Reservation Road. When we're driving down, the river was across the street from our house or across the road. Well, we'd see that old Tule River just flow in all of its beauty, and it would flow and flow and flow. And we would get down off of 190 there by Plano. We lost, you know, you still see it there. But all of a sudden, you go on down and you lose sight of it as you're heading on down west. On 190. But as you get down, the river shows up again when you get to J Street. Down along that area, you'll see it again. And so that's what I'm saying. You're seeing the river, you don't see the river. All of a sudden it's back, and then you don't see it because there's housing. But when it's him, it will never, ever let you go. I don't care how old you are or whatever you're doing. And it's always bigger than anything that we can accomplish. Amen? Well, my brother Ricky, Isaiah, if you guys will turn the lights down, we'll spend some time in prayer. Talk to the Lord. Because these words, listen, that I give you, these are not to tease us. He doesn't just dangle these kind of words out and say, oh, I've got fruit for you. I have fruit for you. No. He said, you stay connected with me because without me, you can't do it. I'll give you that fruit, but stay with me. All right? So say, Holy Spirit, give me all you've got. I'll take everything you have for me. Amen, church.